can't get fooled again.
Arf. Hounds of heaven. I should do that again. Doesn't sound like a real bird. Arf. Hounds of heaven. Jesus loves you and is there for you. Welcome in to the David L. Gray Show, Off Code and Unscripted, where I talk about things without a filter and without a teleprompter, and we're live. I got one thing for you this show. I was watching this video over at MSNBC. And I just had to bring it on and watch it with you guys and just react to this. It's just the most phenomenal thing I've ever heard come out of like one person's mouth at the same time today. I mean, I've probably heard more phenomenal things, but for today, this has to take the cake. I mean, she definitely gets the dunce hat of the day. So we're going to get into that here shortly. First of all, I'd like to thank you guys for getting this channel over 25,000 subs. Yes, 25,000 subs. I know that's not a lot, but for a kid that was born with inverted feet, right? I was born with my feet going inward, right? And ended up going to college and running the track and doing okay for myself. This is just a major accomplishment for a kid born with inverted feet. It really is. 25,000 subs. So I'd like to thank you all for subbing. If you haven't subbed yet, please sub. Let's just keep that number going. Hit that thumbs up button if you can. Jeremiah says, glad you can stand to watch NBC for us. I don't have the willpower. Yeah, it's not something I do daily, right? Diana says, way to go, David. Yeah, thank you, Diana. You've been on this channel for a long time. So I thank you for all your support. You're a great follower of this channel. On a Gray Report, you guys hop over to the Gray Report, davidlgray.info. Top stories for today, this afternoon, have been the Catholic heretic President Joe Biden. He's signed a second executive order expanding this abortion rights thing. So now he's trying to pay for child murder with Medicaid. The Sandinista regime in Nicaragua. they've raided all the Catholic radio stations and they shut them down. So they raided all the Catholic radio stations and they shut them down. So that's really disconcerting. If you guys haven't yet, I got a link up there to hop over to. If you don't have the Saint Maker yet, so you know I don't promote a whole lot of products on this channel, but this, if I believe in something, I'll promote it for a while. I think I had that, what's that security product I used to have on here? I believed in that because I see identity theft so much in my profession. So this is something else I really believe in. It's called the Saint Maker. You guys probably heard of it. It's a daily, it's more than the calendar. It's like a daily life planner and it's for every quarter. So this one is summer 2022. And they sent me this, the same maker sent me this. So yeah, I'll take a look at it, you know, see what I think. And I ended up using it and it ended up helping me. And it's been one of those things that's helped me more than anything live the type of life I want to lead lately. Because for me, the way I learn, you know, some people are like audible learners. Some people learn by doing. Some people learn by reading or whatever. I don't know what it's called, but I learn by writing. I learn by writing and also learn by reading. So this does both for me. So I write down what I'm struggling with. I write down what I want to accomplish that day, that month, as far as what I want to do in to be a saint. Also, it's also just a regular calendar, but I write down the issues, you know, my failings for that day, right? So I write them down. And it's like a confession in a sense. Okay, I confess this. I need to work on this. And then I read it. I go back and read it. It's like a journal. And so it's been phenomenal for me. So I'm going to sponsor this product for a little while. So if you want to try it out, go to click on that link I have there in the description box and in the live stream. And so Diana, she has journals. Yeah. It's I really, I used to do that a lot. I have this whole big journal here. I think it's like an AA thing. Somebody from AA gave it to me, but I started this back, man, 2007. So I used to do it every day, and I got away from it after I got married. Because that was part of why I was journaling. The main reason why I was journaling, because I was, I was looking for my beloved, whether that was going to be a priesthood or whether that was going to be, a woman. So, after I got married, I just stopped doing it. So I have to get back. So yeah, anyway, let's get into the show. Enough of the press fest. We spent 6 minutes doing this. So let's get into the reason why we are here. All right, so let's watch this. This is crazy.
As we just discussed, this is not a typical midterm election season. So while just a few months ago, before times, the Supreme Court struck down Roe versus Wade, Republicans seemed to hold the edge. Now, several recent polls show something a little bit differently, that voters actually want Democrats to keep control of the Congress. So joining me now to discuss, Kurt Bardella, an advisor to the DNC and the DCCC. So Kurt, thinking through how the Roe decision will impact the midterm elections is actually an open question because it just happened. Some of the polling before has changed in the wake of the decision. And there are primaries actually this week in Arizona, Missouri, and Michigan. Can give us a little bit of an idea of how voters have reacted to that decision. What's the status of the midterms now, given the fact that Roe has been struck down? Do Democrats stand a chance keeping the House or doing well in these upcoming elections?
So in this first part of the interview, they're just going to talk about how the Democrats they're going to run on abortion. They're running on abortion this election. So that's their opining about. And they think that the Republicans have somehow lost leverage. They lost their momentum because of Roe versus Wade overturned. And now the Democratic base is so excited. And it was good to hear that the Democrats are running on child murder. That was good to hear. We've been saying who they are for a very long time. So I'm happy to hear they're admitting that they're running on child murder. All right. So let's go to the clip where it gets interesting. I think this is about it.
Way too early. When everyone wrote Democrats off for dead, I'm like, listen, there's a lot of game left to be played here, a lot of field ahead, and Republicans every step of the way seem to be hitting that self-sabotage button. I mean, just in the last week alone, somehow, they've managed to put themselves on the side of China, on the opposite side of veterans, two constituencies that they've really, been in their wheelhouse for years that they've upended. And all the while, they continue this extreme war on women. I mean, this is the only political party I can think of that actually uses The Handmaid's Tale as an instruction manual, and it's going to backfire big time in November.
That was pretty funny.
That's a frightening thought. I definitely don't want anybody to pick up that book and use it as a to-do list. That is not a good thought, Kurt. One of the things that you said there that I really think is important is the fact that, inflation, it's almost a privilege to care about inflation as your number one issue. The same is true of gas prices or even the idea that...
All right, I gotta go back for a sec because I don't think you heard that. She said she thinks it's a privilege. It's white privilege to care about inflation as your number one issue. Let's play that again.
The same is true of gas prices or even the idea that it's the economy stupid. I always really think is important is the fact that, inflation, it's almost a privilege to care about inflation as your number one issue. The same is true of gas prices or even the idea that it's the economy stupid. I always found that analysis lacking because as a Black person, I don't want to get killed on the way to my job. So I'm glad I have a job I'm glad I make a living wage. But if I can't be alive, then what does that other stuff matter? I mean, speak to the idea that some of this stuff is existential in the minds of the Democratic base in a way that it's maybe not for the middle of the country, or the so-called middle, or even more conservative-leaning voters.
So this lady, Zerlina Maxwell, who is some sort of whatever reporter, columnist, whatever, talking head over at MSNBC, she says that it's privilege, right? White privilege, we have to think she's saying, because then she goes to refer to herself as a Black person who's worried about other things. She says that it's white privilege that worrying about inflation, gas prices, those things make you put you in some sort of upper echelon that makes you different than everybody else in America just because you're worried about your 401k losing money. You're worried about gas prices. You're worried about putting food on your table. Everything's more expensive. But if you're worried about those things, you have white privilege. I had no idea my wife and I were white. I had no idea. I had a suspicion my wife and I were white. I had a suspicion, but it now is confirmed. We have white privilege. I'm so happy to announce. I always wanted white privilege. I always did. I mean, just imagine now that I know I have white privilege, that I'm concerned about the economy. That is, as far as economics go, a big concern of mine, right? I had to take half of the money out of my 401k to put it somewhere else, because it just wasn't doing anything there and I couldn't manipulate it whatsoever. But that's a concern to me, right? Listen, I'm concerned about gas. I go fewer places than I used to go, right? I guess that makes me white now. It does. I guess that makes me white now. This is just amazing. This is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. And then for her to say that, because she, as a Black person, that what she's worried about is getting shot in the street. I mean, that isn't that just like the lowest common denominator? Isn't that what everyone just thinks about Black people? That we live in these urban centers, that we live in these cities, that, you know, I'm in a few minutes, somebody's going to drive past here and shoot through my window and I'm going to have to duck. Isn't that what everyone thinks about us anyway? And she's just confirmed it. This woman who, I looked her up on Wikipedia, and I'm pretty sure that's accurate. This woman, her education, she went to, she's 40 years old. She, Zerlina Maxwell, she went to Tufts University, and she got her Juris Doctorate from Rutgers Law School. Yeah, I mean, she's not, you know, Harvard, she's not Yale, but she's not struggling at all. Her academic, her CV is pretty good. And I'm sure she has a very nice cushy job at MSNBC. She is not worried whatsoever about getting shot in the street. In fact, I don't know anyone in my personal life that's their first concern, getting shot down in the streets. Do you? Do you? Jeremiah says, that sounds like a white thing to do, Dan. Yeah, these great universities, Tufts, Rutgers, right? Right? I went to Central State University, right? That's the only school I applied to. But come on, she went to Rutgers Law School. Come on, man. She's not struggling for anything. I don't know how much she makes, but I'm pretty sure she can drive to work in a nice car and drive into some private parking. But she's trying to tell us that as a Black person, this is her core concern, getting shot down in the street. No one, I don't know anyone who that's their life. I grew up in Warren, Ohio. In the 80s, this was like one of the most dangerous places to live because the town over, Youngstown, Ohio, had just gang violence just It had one of the highest death rates in America per capita. I grew up next to that town. Never worried about getting shot in the streets. Never. Maybe when I went to Youngstown. But I was really more concerned about somebody getting out of their car like and jumping me and beating me up with their fist because I said something to their girlfriend. All right, true story. But I never worried about getting shot down on the street. But this is just trying to tell us. Black folks are not concerned about the inflation, right? Even though poverty, but here's the ironic thing about what she's saying. Here's the ironic thing, is that inflation causes more poverty. More poverty increases crime. More poor people creates more desperate people who are willing to do more desperate things, right? Poverty, the poorer a place is, the more destitute it is, the more crime there is. So if you're concerned about crime, you're concerned about getting shot down in the street, well, you should want an economy with less inflation. You should want a prosperous country. You should want a country that just passed some sort of legislation about Inflation Act now or something like that, that actually doesn't reduce inflation whatsoever. You know, these politicians are playing games. I don't get into that whole thing. But I just think it's phenomenal that those series of words just flowed out of her mouth with no concern whatsoever that they weren't even true. They weren't even true. And she's not even concerned about that. Jeremiah says, I wonder if she complains about the price of her soy latte. Yeah, right. Because you know, she has one every morning. That's her go-to every morning. Come on. And look at her hair. I mean, look at this woman. She's doing well. I don't know if you guys know a lot about this hairstyle. It doesn't look like it takes a lot of work, right? But my wife has a hairstyle. I know how expensive that is to get your hair looking like that for my wife. And so this woman who works at MSNBC, who has people who does this probably, listen, this, I mean, you can just look at the woman and tell she's not worried whatsoever about getting shot down on the street. She doesn't have a scratch on her, right? She hasn't been through anything, but she wants to sit here and speak for all Black people. And JC said, Michelle, a.k.a. Michael Obama, said the exact same thing. Yeah. Michelle said, yeah, Black people, the first thing Black people are worried about is when they leave their house, they're getting shot down in the street. Where do these Black people live at? That's your first concern. If that's your first concern, I should just move to Mexico. It's probably safer than where you live, right? All the Mexicans are coming up here. And Hondurans, go to one of their countries. They're probably safer. If your first concern is leaving your house and getting shot down, you don't need to be in America. You need to be in a safer place like Mexico, Nicaragua place, probably Costa Rica. There's many places you can go to feel safer than where you are. That's what I recommend. These people, I'm gonna wrap this video up. I'm going to wrap this reaction up, but it's basically just to say, I just want to reiterate that now that it's been affirmed that I have white privilege, that I expect for my 25,000 subs to overnight go up to 25 million because I have white privilege. And I think that should be just the immediate outcome. I need a white privilege card. Hold on. Where is this? There we go. David Gray now has a white privilege card. I'm going to put this in my pocket. And next time when I need it, I'm going to pull it out. How about that? I had no idea. But anyway. That's all I have for now. I'll see you, ladies and gentlemen, on the next time. I love you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you. And peace.
I'd like to ask you to hop over to davidlgray.info, become a sponsor there if you like.
join my mailing list if you like, and visit the Gray Report while you're there for the latest news from a rigid Catholic lean.